90% of the adults were involved with spaceflight in one field or another, which meant long absences were the norm. But when they came back, it was the house and Athene they always visited first, staying or passing through as the fancy took them. Athene's boarding house, Bordello and Playpen, the old ex-captain had called it on more than one occasion. The younger children were delighted to see Syrinx whooping as they gathered round her, demanding kisses and stories of the planet she visited, while the adults offered subdued condolences. Being with them, knowing and feeling the heartache being shared, lifted the load, slightly. After the evening meal, Syrinx went back to her old room, asking to be left alone for a few hours. Reuben and Athene acceded, retreating to the white iron chairs on the patio and conversing on the singular engagement mode, sober faces betraying their worry. She lay back on the bed, staring through the transparent roof at the lazy winding valleys beyond the dimming axial light tube. In the 7 years since Oenone reached maturity, the trees had grown and bushes fattened, expanding the green-on-green patterns of her childhood. She could feel Oenone out on the ledge, hull being cleaned of foam, mobile gantry arms in position, giving technicians full access to the battered crew toroid. Now it had completed its nutrient digestion, its mind tone was returning to normal. It was enjoying being the center of attention, busy conversing with the ledge crews over aspects of the repairs. Two biotechnicians were squatting over a ruined sensor blister with portable probes, taking samples. "Daddy?"
"I'm here, sly minx. I told you I always would be."
"Thank you. I never doubted."
"How is he?"
"Happy." A little of the dread lifted from her heart.
"Is he ready?"
"Yes. But there was so much missing from recent years. We have integrated what we can. The core of identity is viable, but it lacks substance. He remains a child, perhaps the part of him you love the most."
"Can I talk to him yet?"
"You may." She was standing barefoot on thick, cool grass beside a broad stream, the axial light tube shining like a thread of captured sunlight overhead. There were tall trees around her, bowing under the weight of vines hanging between their branches, and long cascades of flowers fell to the floor, some of them trailing in the clear water. Butterflies flapped lazily through the still air, contending with bees for perches on the flowers. Birds cheeped all around. It was the clearing where she had spent so many days as a girl, just past the bottom of the lawn. Looking down, she saw she was wearing a simple cotton summer dress with a tiny blue and white check. Long loose hair swirled around skinny hips. Her body was 13 years old, and she knew why, even as she heard the children shouting and laughing. Young enough to be regarded as part of childhood's conspiracy, old enough to be revered, to hold herself aloof and not be resented for it. They burst into the clearing, 6 10-year-old boys in shorts and T-shirts, bare-chested and in swimming trunks, smiling and laughing, strong limbs flashing in the warm light.
Syrinx!
He was in their middle, sandy hair askew, grinning up at her.
"Hello, Thetis," she said. "Are you coming with us?"
he asked breathlessly. A raft of rough silicone sheets, foamed aluminium I-beams, and empty plastic drink tanks, familiar enough to bring tears to her eyes, was lying on the bank, half in the water.
"I can't, Thetis. I just came to make sure you're all right."
"Course I'm all right." He tried to do a cartwheel on the grass, but toppled over and fell into a laughing heap. "We're going all the way down to the saltwater reservoir. It'll be fun. We've not told anyone, and the personality won't see us. We could meet anything down there, pirates or monsters, and we might find some treasure. I'll bring it back, and I'll be the most famous captain in all the habitat." He scrambled to his feet again, eyes shining.
"Please come, Syrinx, please."
"Another time, I promise." There were shouts from the other boys as the raft was pushed into the fast-flowing stream. It bobbed about at alarming angles for a few seconds before gradually righting itself. The boys started to pile on. Thetis's head swiveled between Syrinx and the craft, desperately torn.
"Promise? Really promise?"
"I do." She reached out and held his head between her hands and kissed him lightly on his brow.